Blog Talk Radio.
You are fake news.
And how, in the words of the little rascals, and how, they are fake news. And I tell you what, they're getting exposed every single day for being super fake, they're super fake, yeah. So, as you know, I was off the internet for 7 whole days. For some reason, apparently, last live show, I must have said something concerning the Mots. Remember, we came up with that new term. So we came up with the Mots to let everybody know what the Mots mean, right? Well, apparently somewhere in that show, I violated some of YouTube's policies in regards to the Mots. Now, they did not let me know what I did. They didn't point to the exact part in my show that offended them or put anyone in danger. They just simply said, yeah, man, you brought in on some charges and you got to do some time, 7 days. And I was thinking to myself, well, can I appeal it? We're going to still keep your show and your ability to function with your website completely shut down. I said, now, isn't that like punishing someone before a trial? Oh, they couldn't even tell me. They couldn't even tell me what I said, where I said it, none of that stuff. I've just been brought into court and they're like, all right, you've been accused of doing something. Really? Well, what's the charges? You know what? That's classified. We can't tell you exactly what the charges are, but you did something. So with that being said, we're going to give you 7 months in prison. Unreal, man. But nonetheless, now I got to be even more careful because if I get one more, guys, you know it's over. So right after this show, I'm going to be looking at some other alternative platforms. Now, before I forget, I also want y'all to do me one favor. I uploaded my first video since I was back yesterday. It's been teetering around 2,300 views. Come on. Now are starting to lie to me like one of my old school friends who lied for nothing. Everything he said, we'd all be looking at him going, uh-huh. So with that being said, after y'all watch the live, do me a favor. If you haven't seen that video, go click on it and do me a favor in the chat section. Just put KC. See, I want to differentiate the difference between the people who watched that video yesterday versus the people who watch it after this show. And I need to be able to identify y'all in regards to why these numbers are so low. So just type in KC, just the K and the C. Don't get fancy. All right, just KC. That'll let me know that you watched it after tonight's live show, and I need to see those numbers correlate with the other numbers, okay? I want to see if they're really counting those numbers or they bullcrapping me, shortchanging me, and trying to hold me down. And it ain't because I'm brown. It's because I am a conservative, more so. A black conservative. We can't have that. Now, with that being said, man, we got some stuff to talk about. Do you understand how suppressed I've been on the inside? Ain't been able to talk about this nonsense, and now they done let me off the leash, and I'm about to go buck wild. Now, guys, before we get into the craziness, we better check in and see how creepy, sleepy, sleazy, slimy, sloppy Joe doing. Here we go. Oh, he's conducting stuff, y'all. He's conducting meetings and stuff. Let's see how that went.
There's, there to be, beginning this effort for 2021 is, I think we've learned a few lessons from last year as well. There's help, being there to help clear roads, rebuild main streets, and so that for their lives.
Now, check this out. Don't forget, y'all, the video I uploaded last night. So go to that one after we do this show and just put KC in the comments. That'll let me know you checked out that video. Now, for this one, though, did y'all hear Creepy Sleepy trying to take controls? This dude jumped on top of that Bronco. How does it work? Wait a minute, it won't turn. Why is it going in circles? This dude don't know how to take the reins. This dude's sitting back talking to folks about something, and everybody around the table, I know they're going, is it just me, or is this man crazy? That's right. Joe has lost his whole entire mind, and every single person that voted for this man, I want them to see this. I want them to go and stick their heads in some sand. I'm sure by now, the buyer's remorse has kicked in. And many will not admit that. But wait. Let's check on his record and see how he's been doing so far. Let's see. Here we go. This right here is a montage of some of the things Joe has done. Okay.
What Latinos should look at is comparing this president to the president we have is outrageous, number one. We didn't lock people up in cages, separate families. We didn't do all of those things. What I would do as president is several more things because things have changed.
Excuse me. So you're trying to teach me something, but the video display that you're showing has the opposite of what he's saying. So as he's talking, I'm seeing clips of 2021, people flooding our border. I'm seeing clips of those kids that he was just referring to in those cages, sleeping in aluminum foil or something. But maybe I'm just getting ahead of things. Plus, I do like the song, the opera song. There's something like the mole in the mountain or something.
I would, in fact, make sure that there is, we immediately surge to the border. All those people are seeking asylum. They deserve to be heard. That's who we are. We're a nation that says if you want to flee and you're fleeing oppression, you should come.
I said, wait a minute. Did he just say that? This is the same man that says, there's no problem at the border. All that stuff. So here he is telling folks, you're fleeing repression. You need to come. Well, they came, Joe. They came and plugged up the whole urinal. That's right. They came and stopped up the toilet, and then it started overflowing. All of that mess was on your floor. You the one stuck too much toilet paper down that toilet, Joe. You the one said, don't worry. My toilet's amazing. It could take whatever. And stuffed a whole bunch of crap down there. And when you flushed it, you knew it was coming. You ever done that? You scared too. You seen it rise up. You're like, oh, shoot. At some neighbor's house, that's even the worst. Mess up their toilet. All smoke up. Ain't no plunger in here. You did that, Joe. And you ain't got no plunger. But let's continue. Here's Creepy Sleepy saying more stuff.
100 plus kids came with parents. They separated them at the border to make it a disincentive to come to begin with.
Wait a minute. He's accusing Trump of that, but guess what I'm seeing? I don't know if maybe they're in there wrapping hot dogs or something. I don't know. Maybe after the grill out, they got aluminum foil and they're just, packing up the stuff to take home. And Ethel, here's the sweet potato pie for you. I don't know. But it appears not to be food under all of that aluminum foil. Guess what those are? Kids. Real live humans under that aluminum foil in some type of cage. Maybe this was under what? Trump's 2021.
Big, real tough. We're really strong. And guess what? They cannot. It's not coyotes that didn't bring them over. Their parents were with them. They got separated from their parents.
Doesn't look like that to me, Joe. I'm looking at this. And not to mention the last couple months, we've been seeing the coyotes bringing those kids over. We've been seeing the coyotes dropping them over all types of walls, throwing a couple babies in the water that can't keep up.
Hey, look, you know what's going on when we came, okay? We got a deadline. And the little guy, he's only 1 year old, he can't keep up.
So we're going to have to throw him in the river. Why not just walking around in the desert? But you're going to throw him in the river? Unreal, man. These folks are all doing this because of you know who. Come. That's right. Surge the border. It's not who we are to reject people.
And it makes us a laughing stock and violates every notion of who we are as a nation.
Yes, it does. I agree with you on that, Joe, just in a different context. Every single way that you guys have handled that border makes us the laughing stock. You know why? How are we supposed to walk around flaunting our peacock feathers, talking about America's the most powerful country, planet, and we can't even stop folks from coming across our borders? All of those gentle little children, all of those parents, or even the coyotes and the drug dealers, it's greater than us. We can compete with China, Russia, North Korea, all of them, Iran, but we cannot stop these folks from coming across our border. Now, that doesn't make us look too strong. That is not a deterrent. See, I'm thinking like the enemy. Well, wait a minute. They're talking all that crap about big and bad. They're, all I got to do is go down to Mexico and come on across the border. And all of a sudden, we're just able to, I don't know what to do. We can't defend our own borders. It's funny how China can, though, and North Korea, and all the other countries on the planet, except for us. So it has to be an ulterior motive for us not to stop this. But here's Joe. Yeah, this is back when he was running against Trump.
What happened? Parents were ripped, their kids were ripped from their arms and separated.
Here we go. Here we go. Y'all hear that? Yeah, what happened? I'm a talking point again. Ripped. Can you put the sound effect on it too? Okay, yeah. They were ripped. Everybody in the audience looking around like, did you? What was that sound? Yes, he's ripping. Is it just me or are you hearing ripping sounds? So here's Joe saying that they were ripped from their parents. It's funny, though, because all these kids I'm looking at inside of this playpen have been ripped from their parents by Joe and his crew. And by the way, anybody seen Chameleon Kamala Harris? I mean, anybody seen her down on that border? No? Okay, where's she at? Okay, that wasn't in her job description. Oh, hey, my job description said I get to cackle a lot and walk around and do, you know, little photo shoots and some ops and things like that. You're trying to make me work. What's wrong with y'all? Anyway, let's continue.
And now they cannot find over 500 sets of those parents, and those kids are alone.
Y'all hear Joe? He's so filled up with compassion. And now they can't find 500 of those parents. And these kids are alone for me to sniff. I mean, for me to lift and kiss. I love kids. Did I tell you that? I love them on my knee. That's right. When I was at the swimming pool, me and poor girl, I'm back. Okay, now, kissing the kids. That's what I want to do. No, wait. What was I talking about? So now he's talking about all the kids that were ripped from their parents. But see, what I'm totally baffled on is he's talking about we can't reunite these kids with their parents. If I remember correctly, it was the Obama administration with Joe involved in all of that, that gave kids over to traffickers, a whole bunch of big. Hey, you know, I'm taking your word for it. Go ahead with your dad, but he's not my poppy. What? Hey, kid, look, it's not for me to figure out who's your poppy or not, okay? Go with your poppy or whoever he is. But here we go.
Nowhere to go. Nowhere to go. It's criminal. It's criminal.
Then that means Joe should be locked up. Him, Chameleon, Harris, all of them. Where's the police? Police, help! This dude right here is such a hypocrite, but we all knew that. The Democrats, the whole Democrat Party, are hypocritical. They are such projectors. It's unreal. But I'm thinking to myself, that was criminal under Trump, but under you, it's not. Just like all the other stuff. Everything Trump did somehow put it in the criminal category versus creepy, sleepy, sloppy Joe and his criminal enterprise dealing with Ukraine, dealing with China, all of that. No, you better not be bringing that mess up. Trump's the one that's corrupt. When Peter Ducey asked him about his dealings with his son, he got offended. Like, hey, you know what? My son did nothing wrong. I don't even talk to him about his business affairs. But you should be looking into his Trump. And here's corruption. Peter didn't even ask him, like, what corruption are you referring to? He just let that dude sit back and say that Trump was just corrupt. And I said, okay, but you can't tell me how. Every person that I talk to that is uninformed, uneducated about politics, and they say that. Soon as I ask them, what did Trump do that was so corrupt? Well, I mean, come on, dude, you know he did something. That's your argument? Yeah, man. So, like, give me one thing. Helped his buddies get rich. How? You know what? Let me go back and look at some CNN clips. I'll get back with you in a minute. They don't know. They're straight up winging it just like Joe is. But let's continue.
What do you do with an unaccompanied child that comes to the border? Do you repeat what Trump did? Take them from their mothers, move them away, hold them in cells, etc.? We're not doing that. So what we're doing now is attempting to rebuild the system that can accommodate.
Rebuild the system that breaks all of our laws. That's what they want to do. And as he's saying this, as he's letting this mess pop out of his mouth, I'm looking at a big old bus, a bus load of illegal immigrants. Now, I would be thinking that bus should be going back to Tijuana, back to Mexico, back to Honduras, somewhere, not coming into the U.S. But of course they are. They're coming into the U.S. And I'm thinking to myself, why? I thought the deterrent was, hey, look, we're not open for season here. You can't just come across our border and stay and post up. Go home. But no, what we do, put them on buses. And some of those kids are still sitting on buses because there's nowhere to put them. I don't know what's worse. Is it those cages or being cooped up on a hot bus for a couple of days? Let's continue.
What is happening today, and I like to think it's because I'm a nice guy, but it's not. It's because of what's happened every year.
Not today.
See, she's doing her job, y'all. Not today. There you go. That's her only job. I ain't seen her do nothing since she's been in office. I haven't seen her do nothing but wipe her hand after shaking that Japanese representative's hand. You see that, y'all? Shook his hand and then got the, ugh, God, let me wipe that off. Didn't even wait till she was off camera. But nonetheless, there she is saying something. She's not going to visit.
But I have before, and I'm sure I will again.
Oh, but you took your raggedy tail down there real quick when it was Trump. You up in there with that microphone. This is crimes against humanity. But now nothing. Else. You know, I got laundry. I got to do some grocery shopping. It's crazy, man. It's pretty tough cackling and running around the country spewing propaganda. Takes up all my time. Back then, though, it was a humanitarian crisis. Right now, it can wait because everything right now is kind of calmed down. These folks are hypocrites. But guys, I don't want to waste too much time on Joe. We already know that Joe is horrible. The Democrat Party is horrible. They're hypocritical, all that good stuff. But there are some social topics we need to address. Now, Michael Knowles ran across a clip that I appreciated. You know, it's rare that, you know, I see someone who spews out something so deep and intellectual, it makes me have to feature on my show. And she ain't dealing with, like, politics in this comment right here. She's talking about her faith and proving the existence of God versus atheists. This is a young black girl on TikTok. Michael Knowles ran across her. And when I watched it, I said, that's deep, sister. So before we get into some of the craziness, let's check out what this sister had to say. And you tell me what you think.
Well, okay, look.
That's her.
Have y'all ever heard of the theory? General relativity, what Einstein is famous for. In his calculations, he started to realize that the universe was not eternal. It had a beginning. Now, this leads us to the law of causality. Everything that came to be needs a cause.
She already starting off blowing my mind. She's talking about relativity. She's talking about causality. She's talking about everything that is has to have a cause. When you look at the totality of science and how all of this stuff works, you think that mess just happened by accident. It's too intricate. It's too well scripted. Just like those folks showing up at our border. You think they came by accident. See, someone heard a few minutes ago where Joe was like, you know what? We're going to treat them differently. In fact, they should surge our border. And then when they showed up, I don't know why they're coming. Because what? They say I'm a nice guy. When Joe gets out there and he says stuff like the crime has not risen in all of these cities due to what, us, you know, him and Raggedy Patty talking about, well, crime was rising before INS and all of that. You don't think it has nothing to do with all of y'all demonizing police officers before any details come out? But crime just somehow just rising. How about when you take money away from the cops? You don't think that is a connection, Joe? Nothing? No Democrats? Okay. You don't think then by incentivizing all of these folks to stay home during, you know, the lockdowns and then giving them money, but now you wonder why, you know, the job unemployment rate has went up and jobs have gone down. You don't think that has nothing to do with it? There's nothing to show that there's a correlation, then you're an idiot. That's what you are. Right here, taking it even deeper. Here we go.
So Einstein clearly knew that if the universe Big Bang, the universe emerged out of nothingness. What does that mean? Since it's impossible for the universe to be able to create itself because it didn't exist in order to be able to create itself, nature and the universe itself was just a big effect that was caused by, what are we left with? An extremely powerful, extremely intelligent, precise, given the precision that our universe was created with, personal entity that is capable of existing outside of time, space, and matter. That can't be nothing but God.
No, that's not.
She's a young girl sitting up there in some type of bear outfit or something, got something on her head with it, sucking on a lollipop. I mean, I'm sitting there feeling like LL Cool J. I need a girl with extensions in her hair, bamboo earrings, at least two pairs. So here she is breaking that stuff down for all of those folks out there on the internet that, you know, might be very liberal and, you know, anti-God and stuff. You know, I mean, I don't know what y'all believe, but I believe in God. But she broke that mess down. So for all of these Democrats and globalists and liberals who are really trying hard to get God out of everything, but yet there's no attack on Christianity, none of that. That right there would blow their mind. She would not fit in. You know what? Her blackness would mean nothing to them. Her being a female would mean nothing to them if she's talking like this. All their identity politics goes out the window. They won't be looking at her as no minority. Yeah, when she starts throwing that stuff up in their face, oh, I see now you're talking that God stuff. And that would make us have to be accountable to our corruption and wickedness. So therefore, we want to replace him with us, big government. We don't want to be accountable. We don't like our conscience feeling sad. This woman broke that down. And for those who got the nerve to think that somehow everything just accidentally formed itself, all you got to do is ask yourself, how did a darn boy in 47, did it form itself? Did it make itself? Did all of the parts in a junkyard just fall and somehow formed a fully functional Boeing 747? No. Someone had to create it, just like when she broke down. So I got to give her a shout out, y'all. When she hit me with that, I was like, that's deep, Michael. I'm glad you found her on TikTok. But I don't be on TikTok, so thanks to Michael. Now, let's move on because, y'all, another social topic. We got a dude who's big for nothing. John Cena, you know the wrestler, that dude who's been in all these tough guy movies, this dude got broke down to his very last compound. Let's see what he did.
But the problem that the scandal is, he acknowledged that Taiwan is a country.
What? So wait, John Cena just simply acknowledged that Taiwan is a country. Well, surely that can't be that bad. I'm sure that everybody's going to say, and so what? They ain't got nothing to do with us. We're over here in America. This is America. We're allowed to look across the seas and make some assumptions or an opinion, right? Or am I? Okay, because here's John Cena taking time out of his day to learn a little bit of Mandarin so he can do some pandering. Learn this Mandarin for some pandering. So let's hear this pandering. Okay, here we go.
Hello, I'm John Cena. Hey, China, I have to say right now, in Fast and Furious 9, I have...
Michael's translating for me. Y'all hear him in the... Bet you he's hacking this all up. Let's continue.
Many, many interviews.
Hold on. Okay. He went overboard with the pandering. There's a time where you can go way beyond just your normal amount of pandering, see? This guy is starting to look like a panda bear. But let's continue. Because see, right now, his bigness is starting to become smaller and smaller as he continues to grovel. Let's see.
In one of them, I made a mistake. Did you know? What's the mistake?
Now, in my opinion, this is even more offensive than what he said. Sydney, you know these folks in China are cracking up while this dude is saying all of this mess. See, their accent and the way that they speak, I'm sure, is laughing at this. All of them are probably like, that dude just hacked that word up. That's like us going to another country, and they're trying to use American words to communicate to us, and you can tell that is not how that is pronounced. If you were in America, we'd be rolling at you. Like, dude, that's not how that's said. But he doesn't care. His pandering has no bounds. This man somehow got someone to teach him a bunch of apology words so he could pander to China. Huh. He must have a movie coming out that probably will show up in where? China? Okay, here we go.
Everyone asked me if I can use Chinese people at Fast and Furious 9. I guess his Mandarin's not as good as one would imagine. Gave me lots of interview information. I I made a mistake. I have to say right now, it's so.
Don't hear that? He's feeling it, y'all. This big for nothing dude right here is talking about some hun. What the heck are you doing, man? There's that point where I say, you know what? I got to go down with the ship. I mean, that's too much. I don't. Jeez, you're making off of this movie that's about to be released. You got to go down with your gonads, man. There's that moment where you just say, remember the Alamo. And you come out blasting with both. This dude right here has none. China has taken his marbles, and they got them right now hanging at their rearview mirror like dice. Oh, you know I got these from John Cena. What are they? His balls. I own them in China. This dude just gave up his testes. Let's continue hearing him back up his mandate.
Oh, so important. I love and respect China and Chinese people. I'm so sorry for my mistake.
How many times are you going to say that? How many times is Big for Nothing right here going to rob? I'm so sorry. You think this dude's really sorry? You think when he gets off of this little video, he's going to go home and put his head down like, can't believe I said that, hun. This is, you know, it's weighing on me heavy. No, if anything, he should hold his head in shame and say, I can't believe I sold out that, hun. It's weighing on me heavy. I can't believe that I used mandarin for my pandering. Yeah, it hurts me, dear. Don't look at me. I'm supposed to be a tough guy. China broke him down.
I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. You have to understand. I love and respect China and Chinese people. I'm sorry. This is like a hostage video. This is like one of those coerced.
It sure is.
I'm sorry. I'm saying he's crying. Why did he? By the way, you'll notice he doesn't acknowledge the mistake.
Nope.
We all know what the alleged mistake is. What? He said that China, or that Taiwan, rather, is a country, not just a part of China.
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't do that, Steve. So if I'm getting this correct, we have China who are emboldened, who've been ripping off our intellectual properties, who has been manipulating their currency, who has been sticking it to us on trade, and who has been flexing their muscles across the globe for global domination. And now they got his testes to go along with all the rest of that, along with Joe's. They got his a long time ago when he closed that $1.5 billion deal with Hunter. So they got a whole bunch of American testes over there in China right now hanging like dice. Makes me sick to my stomach. But speaking of sick to my stomach, y'all, here's Australia's take on Joe and his efforts, y'all, to bring unity. Let's hear about this theme of unity. Here we go.
Meantime, our old mate, Joe Biden, of course, stood there the day that he became president with one key message to build in the world. Well, it was obedient in its clapping of the gentleman.
Like what? What did he say?
Unity.
Wait a minute. See, you got to listen clearly with him. He might have said, unity. Remember that one, y'all? Community College. Brock, and I think it's a right to have better calf care. Yeah, in that Community College. But I think he managed to slip out the correct word here. So he did say unity.
Uniting our people, uniting our nation, uniting to fight the foes we face with unity, the unity, the way of unity, and unity.
So how is that unity going in the past week?
Yeah, let's see. Here we go.
America, love it or leave it. If you don't have respect in American democracy anymore, if your guy doesn't win, if that's the new rules of engagement.
That does not sound like unity. That's coming out of Beaker. SNBC. Tight eyes Joe. This dude right here with that Cyclops eye is now yelling at us. Now, why is he upset? See, first of all, his acting coach told him to be upset. The employer of this guy said, now, Joe, we need you to go out there. We're going to bring in an acting coach for you. Now, I know it's going to be tough to make it look like you're really serious and upset over this. That's why we brought in an acting coach for you. Okay. So now Beaker got to come out, and he's mad. He's mad because they were doing, I guess, an audit. When it comes down to what took place, I think, in Arizona and maybe some other places. Now,
you know, I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist or anything, you know, how you can get in trouble nowadays. And, you know, guys, I wouldn't want my channel to be taken down because of what I'm saying. So I'll just say this. There's a reason why these folks are doing an audit. And there's nothing wrong with doing that if you are confident that this was the most secure election ever. If you really believe that Creepy Sleepy is the most popular president and receives the most votes ever, it shouldn't even matter. It shouldn't. Go ahead. You can do an audit all you want because he won by so much that if you do find 20 or 30,000, you know, random mess ups, it won't even matter. So why is Beaker so mad? Usually you get madder when folks start getting closer to your corruption. That's like that dude come home smelling all like perfume, not cologne, lipstick on his shirt, and then his wife say, well, where you been all night? What you know what? How you going to come at me? You know what? You know how hard I work? This ain't got nothing to do with what she just asked you. Now all of a sudden you mad at everything that ever happened. Man, you know how hard I work. Food on this table, and every time I leave and go out with my friends for 6 or 7 days, and I come back, there you are standing at the door, whining. Now, I know I only told you I'm going to be gone for 15 minutes, but shoot, what's the difference? 15 minutes, 7 days, it's all the same to me. You need to get off my back. Why are you getting mad, huh? How about you readdress this lipstick and that perfume you got on? So Joe right here is getting mad for a reason.
For this great republic, then just leave our country.
Oh, you hear this tough guy? Beaker got the nerve to talk about this. Leave our country. First of all, I can't even see your eyes. They're so tight. Somebody took a razor blade and just slit the skin because that dude's eyes are tight. Not just tight together, but they tight closed. And then he got the nerve to talk about leave our country. That sounds like unity to me. That sounds like if I don't get my way, I'm going to throw a super duper tantrum. Now, we lost this election. Hint, hint. But I didn't see not one of you guys or any conservative on TV doing this stuff. I didn't click on YouTube and hear y'all like, if y'all go through this and you just leave our country. Nothing. I didn't see no conservative commentators going on. Yeah. So there's a reason why his acting coach got him doing that. The more angry you are, the more believable you're supposed to be.
What can we do to stop this? Because it feels like it's just time to burn it down. He called a Republican Senator Tim Scott, who is black, and did the rebuttal to Joe Biden's joint address to Congress. He called him an Oreo.
What?
It's almost as if he's saying, if you are black, you should be a Democrat, right?
I'm going to be honest. Maybe. No, if you're right. Sitting around the kitchen table and you're black and you're with other black people, they may say the same thing. Like, what is wrong with this, you know, the term that he used? Okay. But I don't think it should be used publicly.
What? Did y'all hear Don Lemon? Isn't it funny how liberals, when they talk about unity, it always revolves around unifying with their agenda. We're not talking about unity in its purest sense. No. We're talking about all of those who agree with us. That's unity. Even when it comes down to your blackness, you being a female, you being gay, all of their little categories of people that are victims and they use to manipulate the public. Even when it comes down to that, you are only unified with us as far as you agree with us. Soon as you disagree, your blackness means nothing. Oh, you're gay? So what? What that got to do with us? See, if you don't agree with us, all of that means nothing. Oh, Caitlyn Jenner / Bruce Jenner found that out the hard way. What they said that, yeah, biologicals have an advantage. What? Oh, you're no longer transgender. You're no longer a woman, Tasha. You know what you are? You're a stinking, dirty, nasty Republican conservative. We don't like those kind of transgenders. We only like the transgenders that agree with our agenda. Same thing with black folks, Don Lemon and all of them. And the sick part about this is this dude right here, if there was a such thing as a black sellout, he is the poster child. The poster child of being a black sellout. Him dangling Joy Reid, almost every Democrat politician, this black You got to be a sellout to even become a Democrat politician. Do you think they're going to let black folks in their little club that has the nerve to really want to see success in the black community? No, no, no. See, we are bringing you in as a operative so you can suppress and keep them in those conditions through manipulation, through being something what they might view as a black voice for us. We want you to keep telling those folks you're a victim. That right there is a sellout for you. But let's not dwell on him. Here's another one, y'all. Y'all ready for this one? You'll recognize her.
Such a strong pushback. Has all that unity going, Joe.
Grim new numbers on the weekend violence. In St. Louis, Missouri, 11 people were shot.
What?
Two of them are dead. In New York City, 27 people shot, one fatally. That also comes as the New York State Attorney General is proposing police officers' use of force and taking a look at peeling that back. And in Chicago, 47 people shot, 9 of them fatalities.
Wow. Cause and effect. So according to all these Democrat mayors and governors, and stuff, it's baffling to me. I'm perplexed when it comes down to trying to make a correlation. So let me see. We got St. Louis. Who runs that? Democrats? Oh, okay. Let me see something. All right. We got New York. Is that is Mayor Giuliani still? No. Okay. So he's not. Or de Blasio or somebody, right? Okay. So that right there, that's Democrat ran. And then in Chicago. Whoa. Chicago. Who runs that one? Oh, Democrats. 47 people shot and 9 died over the weekend. Their Beetlejuice concerned about, y'all.
And that just days after Chicago's Fraternal Order of Police issued a vote of no confidence in Mayor Lori Lightfoot, citing poor work conditions.
I wouldn't have confidence in her. Would you? If you were the police of chief and the chief of police and you saw her going up to that microphone all the time, hold on. Did somebody steal my microphone? Oh, shoot. Who done got Gizmo? Did you take the mic? You better not have taken the mic. Sounds like check one. Nice check two. If you saw her going up and grabbing that microphone every day talking about that these are mostly peaceful protesters while cops are out there being harassed, throwing stuff at them, all of that. If you watch her raggedy tail talk about, look, I'm the face of Chicago. And I gotta get my hair done. And I'm thinking to myself, that's the raggediest face that I've ever seen. You might not want to tout that. And secondly, you came out after you got your hair done looking worse. How you gonna go in to get your hair done and it come out like somebody just jumped you? Soon as she walked out of that beauty salon, if I was there, I'd have ran up to her like, who did this to you? Huh? Let's go get him. How many was it? I would be concerned. When I look at that Florida Evans afro, and here she is talking about some what? Oh, not to mention, she said she ain't taking no more interviews, y'all, from white, I guess, commentators? That's crazy to me. I'm thinking, isn't that racist? But
burnout and low morale, among other issues.
Mm, okay.
However, that Democrat mayor is brushing off the criticism.
Well, she is? What?
Getting a vote of no confidence from that guy is a...
See, there we go. Now, I want to focus on what she's saying, but it's hard when I look at that hairdo and it looked like every strand on her head is throwing their own individual party. Just kicking it. None of them. They ain't choreographed, no moves. They wasn't like us back in the 80s. All right, man, we're going to do this one, and then we're going to come out with this, and we're going to do the walk. Nothing. Every single strand is dancing to their own beat. And yet here she is on the mic talking about something. He did what? I can't even focus. Maybe that's a part of a plan. Let me come out with this raggedy hairdo on my head and distract everybody. But let's continue.
It's a badge of honor. Accept it. So as I said, there's always going to be critics. That goes with the territory.
Democrats, man. So your police are burnt out. They have been targeted and labeled as murderers, systemically racist. You've allowed your cities to be burned, and yet you get offended when the police say they don't have confidence in their fierce leader. If I was a general and I sent my troops in and all they see is me dogging them, allowing everybody to just put horrible, horrible labels on them, all of that stuff. They're participating in it, and then they got a good mind to get mad at me. Do you think that would make all of those troops going into battle be confident and want to fight for their fearless leader? No. But yet this woman has dogged the police. She has been sold out a long time ago to identity politics. And then the one that's recently getting all up under my skin, and because I can't give y'all a visual, I didn't even bring it up. But got the nerve to come out and say, for some reason, she's no longer giving interviews on that one particular day to white interviewers, only black. And I'm glad that some of those other minority, you know, reporters said, well, look, we're not even going to interview you. Thanks for the offer. But, yeah, we can't support racism with more racism. See, that's what you're trying to do. But what really made me mad about that comment she made is she's married to a white lady. Y'all hear that? I'll say it again. Mad for nothing, angry black Florida Evans looking, Beetlejuice slash hair on the top of the head, dancing to their own beats, is married to a white woman. Ilhan Omar, another one, angry black, mad for nothing woman, married to a white man. Oh, AOC, always racism everywhere. She's flinging it all over the place. Got a boyfriend, red hair. That's really white. Opie Cunningham white. And yet, she's the most radical sister in Congress. Oh, wait, whoa. You want another one? You want me to show y'all another stuff? Another stuff? Here's another one. Nothing. Race baiting Chameleon Harris. Married. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To a white man. And just for a cherry on top, Don Lamone, that same brother that was up there talking about, yeah, man, yeah, if we was out, would be questioned, married to a white man. Yet folks still believe them. But there's another hypocrite right here, guys. See, we can't let them get away with it. Oh, here we go. Here's another one.
Off that, a lot of the response that I've heard over the last 24 hours has been, fool for thee, not for me.
Who is this? This is Michigan Governor. Okay, Reggie. Governor Reggie. Okay, here we go.
So I'll just say this, you know, I put out a statement, I wrote that statement, it is, you know, it was an honest mistake, and I have apologized for it. I think that we have specifically not gone forward and penalized businesses that are trying to do the right thing.
Okay.
It's those that have flouted and put people's safety at
risk. Isn't it funny how humble Democrat politicians become when they get busted, except for Nancy Pelosi? Nasty Pelosi, you know she's old evil. See, you got this evil, but she's got old evil. It's like old money versus new money. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that evil is set in its ways. That evil do not grovel for nobody. Nasty is always nasty. She's 100% straight up nasty. You don't catch her on a non-nasty day. She's nasty every day. So Nancy Pelosi, when she got busted, she was, well, listen, the only mistake that I made was trusting in them being set up. See, Nasty got mad, but these new modern-day nasty, corrupt politicians, they get real humble. And where's my acting coach? I got busted again being a hypocrite. So now she's concerned about the businesses of everybody else as she was up in some party. Now, this is after she done been flying back and forth to Florida to check on her papa. After her husband was like, you gonna get out of my way. I'm putting my boat on this lake. You understand? You know who my wife is? You know who he is? It's Gretchen Whitmore. Now, you better get out the way. See, after all of that, after her raggedy tail was telling folks what they can buy or couldn't buy in Walmart and in the darn Home Depot, she gets busted again, and here's her apology.
A risk that, you know, are the most concerning, but I don't know that there's a lot more for me to add at this point in time other than those former Spartans, or I guess you're a Spartan for life, who know the establishment should be over that is now a restaurant, and they have pretty good pizza.
It was good pizza. So
next question.
My own rules. Darn it. It was good pizza that drove her to violate her own lockdown rules. That pizza was talking to her. Psst. Hey, psst. Which more? Huh? It's me, your pizza. What you doing here? I told you don't come to the house. Girl, you know I'm there. Look, man, is he asleep? Your husband sleep? Yeah, he sleep, but you don't get me in trouble. I got this. Now, listen, here's a ladder. I'm going to go ahead and hook that ladder up. Come on down. Meet me over there at the pizzeria. You want a bite? You want a bite, don't you? You want a bite, don't you? Then stop looking that way. Let's go. And she got her raggedy tail busted. And now she's humble. I'm trying to really be open and sensitive to everybody else's businesses as I was locking folks up and stuff back in the day. I'm sorry, what can you say? It was great pizza. Where will people work wake up? That's what bothers me more about all of this hypocrisy, is that the same folks that defend these folks are so blinded that they can't see that these rules do not apply to them. You're supporting rules that they're putting on you, but not themselves. Almost every single one of the things that they've done to the public, they themselves have violated, and those folks still will be like, "Hey, so what, Trump?" And I'm going, man, you're damaged goods. But wait, speaking of Trump, y'all, here we go. Listen to this.
Presidential harassment followed by ex-presidential harassment. Yes, he is out of power, but they can't quit this guy. You heard about the grand jury? They've convened a grand jury to look into Donald Trump, even after the two impeachments, the Mueller investigation. Prosecutor and Trump criminal probe convenes grand jury to hear evidence, weigh potential charges. This is Letitia James. She is the sitting attorney general of New York State. She's in government, yet she speaks like this.
What would you say?
I say one name, Donald Trump. That should motivate you. Will you sue him for us?
Oh, we're going to definitely sue him. We're going to be a real pain.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You cannot tell me that this woman that was running for office is saying this before she gets into office with no evidence whatsoever. Do you understand how much of a conflict of interest this is? This right here is a travesty against every single part of our justice system if they let this fly. So this woman is premeditating going after President Trump. Let's hear something. Oh, she said, okay, yeah, we're going to be a pain in his butt. I want to read it. It says, we're definitely going to sue him. Huh. We're going to be a real pain in the ASS for him. Now, how can you say that? As you're running to win, to be put in office, you done targeted someone that you don't like, and you're saying, watch, when I get in office, I'm going after him. Excuse me, Miss Corrupt Politician. Exactly why are you going after him? Oh, because my party told me to, and a nationalist racist xenophobe, and we're going to find a crime somewhere. I'm pretty sure this guy done did something, so I'm going after him. Before you get in office, let's see what else she had to say.
He's going to know my name personally.
Oh, he's going to know my name personally. That's not a conflict of interest. Do you thrown out of court if they had video footage of the prosecutor before he even got his job? They had no real evidence, just like, man, I don't like Kev. And watch, if y'all elect me, I'm going after Kev every single day. This dude's going to know my name. Then he gets in the office and he does it. They whined about Trump when he said he should appoint a certain prosecutor to look into Hillary. And honestly, he should have done it at this point. See, our problem is we don't play as dirty as the Democrats. Here's the difference, though. Our harsh, aggressive attack is warranted. Theirs is not. And we, as citizens, saw all of the corruption from Crooked. Yes, he had a legitimate reason to get in there and appoint a prosecutor to go after her and after Joe and after the former, you know, listen, how are these jobs going to come back? That guy. He had a legitimate reason to do that. But these dudes don't have none. They come in and say, well, he ain't commit nothing. We'll make something up.
Running for attorney general because I will never be afraid
to challenge this illegitimate president.
Wait just a minute. Wait just a minute. Right there, isn't she inciting an insurrection? When we said that the election was a little suspect, they get mad at us. These folks are messing up our norms. These folks right here, this right here is inspiring an insurrection. Yet we watch a montage of all of them, Hillary Clinton. He knows he's not a legitimate president. All of them saying those things. They didn't even want the darn electoral college to vote for Trump. All of that. But yet this woman right here, as a prosecutor, said, if you elect me, I'm going to prove he's an illegitimate president. The hypocrisy is strong.
When our fundamental rights are at stake.
Legal system. Oh, God. See, it's the passion. When our fundamental rights are at stake. Which ones? Which fundamental rights are at stake? Trump's out of office now. Name me one fundamental right that has been at stake or removed from the public. I see them going after ours. They're going after our fundamental rights. Yes, let's just go ahead and redefine what insurrection means. Let's go ahead and redefine what a domestic terrorist is. Let's make up a new term for them too called patriotic extremism. That's a new one, guys. What that means, everyone who supported President Trump. We'll make that one up. That'll give everybody. We can go after anybody. All we got to do is say you love your country too much. Is that a thing? Is that a crime? Yeah, you know that? You can love your country too much. We don't like y'all going around talking about God bless America. We don't like y'all saying America first. We don't like y'all talking about that First and Second Amendment. You are an extremist. Patriotic extremist. But yet here's this woman. We're talking about our rights have been rolled back and that, she's going to prove that Trump is an illegitimate president.
System where even the most powerful in the country cannot use a loophole to evade justice.
There you go. Another accusation that the funky, crooked, second, dirty, nasty, poop-smelling, dumpster juice media has not even covered. Got up there and just started talking about he's evaded justice. Now, you're a prosecutor. And yet, if somebody say, how did he act? Because most pretty thorough. He was pretty thorough with his investigation. You mean to tell me with all that money and that time, they couldn't find some tax fraud? You know they looked into it. They couldn't find no fault or you know, shiesty business deals, nothing. But yet, she's going to. What they're trying to do is make some.
Do our job to ensure that the man currently occupying the Oval Office is held accountable to any and everything he has done.
Now, see, that's her pitch. Now, see, she got to talk like a preacher. We have to make sure that he's held accountable to everything he has done. Who are you, huh, you little Pop-Tart? Got the nerve to be premeditating to go after a former president. Sick to my stomach. But guys, this right here brings me joy. Y'all ready for this? Lord, talk to us.
Now, for over a year, this show has been telling you that the most likely origin of that COVID virus was a lab leak. What? Well, that theory was labeled misinformation by the media, remember? And big tech said, oh, it's a big lie. So
yes.
Now that this is the likeliest scenario, where are the recriminations for those who buried the story?
I don't know. I don't know, Lord. So, y'all, let me understand this. A whole year ago, when we all was talking about that MOTS that somehow showed up, and they were saying, we got the MOTS. And we were going, well, where did the MOTS come from? And they were like, the MOTS came from a bat. And we were all like, wait a minute, that's kind of strange. Did that MOTS that came from that bat also sits right next to some place where they're doing experiments on the MOTS? Google, everybody suppressed this, called us crazy. All the liberals, they called us crazy. And when I asked that to YouTube the other day, guess what I got, y'all? Crickets. When I said, now, y'all, that I spreaded misinformation concerning the MOTS. I said, but current events show that many of the so-called reliable media outlets now are changing their view on the MOTS. So they got it wrong. Will they be punished too? Will they be suspended for spreading misinformation and disinformation on the internet? No, it's just me, the little guy, the one who y'all done suppressed his numbers for about a year now. 195. Can't get over the hump, y'all. Can't get over the hump. But yet I got to go into the penalty box for 7 days after a whole year of them attacking us for saying, yeah, that's obvious. So now, here we go. Laura's about to show some things. Not just that we were right about that, but look how many other things we were right about.
Trump was right. That's the focus of tonight. We officially declare that journalism in the U.S. is dead, old, and buried. Seeing the position that because of Trump, because he advanced the theory that COVID may have originated in that Wuhan lab, that it was perfectly acceptable for the Post and others to ignore evidence confirming the theory.
What?
This is what they said in part. Some corners of the mainstream media overcorrected, Aaron Blake wrote. He went on to say that caution and skepticism were invited and very much warranted, even when led to even with some of it led to oversimplification.
Now, so let me understand what this guy's saying. Now I got to go back to my darn analogy. Yeah, that's right. Husband come home after 7 days, Told her I'm only going to get some bread and some milk. But it's been 7 days. He come to the crib. She starts rushing in the house. He's mad and all of this stuff upset. Finally, she finds out that he's been cheating. So I creep. Yeah. So now all of a sudden, what does he do? Blames her. Unreal. You know what? Okay, fine. Yeah, I did it. But you know why I did it, though? I've been asking for a hot cooked meal since we got married. And you've been getting it wrong. Now, my mama gave you the recipes from when we was growing up, and you can't even get it right. You've been using too much cinnamon the whole time. How am I supposed to not cheat when I can't even get a good, tasty meal? Okay? You brought this on yourself. Don't be looking at me like that. That's what they're doing right now. No, what they're really doing is saying, you know what we did? We helped out with this false narrative. We buried it. We were in cahoots with the Democrats to push this narrative so Trump wouldn't get reelected. We're in bed with China, all that stuff. Now that it's coming out, we're going to look real stupid. We're going to look real hypocritical. We're going to look real corrupt. So what we need to do is somehow rely on the dumb thinking, the folks that have no reasoning skills, that are so polluted with Trump derangement syndrome that they might just buy this stupidity. That's right. So the reason we didn't follow real journalistic practices is because of Trump. He blinded us. He manipulated our integrity. We can see clearly because of that Trump derangement syndrome. We'll be better next time, even though we've been busted lying for God knows how long, all 5 years, busted line, but we gonna get it right. Okay, so let's finish. Here we go.
This headline from Vox captured the coverage in March 2020. Okay. They labeled the lab leak theory a conspiracy and a rumor and claimed evidence to the contrary. Now, again, I want you to marinate in this for a moment.
Marinate.
Because they hated Trump, the American media and their demigod, Anthony Fauci, gave a communist regime that enslaved millions of people the benefit of the doubt on an issue that led to worldwide death and economic ruin.
Lord, when you say it like that, it really hits home. It shows how these folks do not love our country. They would rather give China the benefit of the doubt. They would rather support Iran. They would rather support the terrorists that Trump killed over supporting Trump. It didn't matter what Trump did. Whatever he did, I don't care if Trump went down into Hades itself and slayed Lucifer. All of these raggedy Democrats and liberal meetings be like, why you kill our dad? He loved us. He gave us all this power. He gave us our mission. Why don't go and hurt our parents? They would be if Trump went down and killed Satan himself. But yet, they love our country. Huh, I'm concerned. I wonder how they're going to handle this moving forward now that their beloved China has been tarred.
Beyond the origins of COVID, though, we see now that Trump was pretty much right on every major issue facing America. Yeah. While Democrats and their media propagandists were wrong.
Tell us.
During the campaign, Trump repeatedly warned voters that if they chose Biden, things on the domestic and foreign policy front would start to unravel.
Thank you, Lord, because I did. See, nobody out there
they got buyer's remorse, can say because didn't warn them. That's right. I was dropping nuggets all over the place. If you convinced your boyfriend or girlfriend was cheating on you and I done left you hints, you know, hey, it's your fault. Hey, all of that. If you can't figure out that somebody's playing you, that's on you. So now here are all of these folks who I used to tell, dude, you're monolithic. You're thinking about one thing. You are so blinded by racism that you're not even thinking about all the other things that impact your life. In fact, I would go so far as to say racism doesn't even impact you personally. I didn't hear one, well, let me take that back. I did hear one dude who's mad for nothing and who's always on the internet blaming Trump for everything, set back and had the nerve to look me in my face and tell me that in 1 week's time he encountered three very direct, uncut, pure, non-mislabeled acts of racism. And I said, wow, just like Democrats, they go over the top. They sell it too much. You can't just have one lady that is accusing a person of sexual assault. Let's bring in 12. You can't just say Brett Kavanaugh messed around and harassed Blasey Ford. Let's call him a sex trafficker. That's right. He was running a sex ring in high school. Let's go over the top. That would be believable. Not just one person. The more people and the more crazy the idea, the more believable it is, right? It always has the opposite effect. So my boy who's telling me this, I'm going, three in 1 week and you live in Akron? Akron is not a small little teeny back hill town up in the hills of Tennessee. You're telling me three? If that is true, let's go get them. Let's go get three separate people. Three separate. It didn't happen. We all know that. Same thing with all the folks who voted for Joe Biden based on that. They probably cannot tell you a personal experience based on why they voted for him, all of the racism and division and all of that. They ain't going to be able to tell you that. They will make something up. Well, I mean, I was in Walmart and I thought this one white lady was following me. Maybe she was shopping. Well, I mean, you would think that, but still, she looked pretty racist. Why? She was old. Let's continue, though.
For saying how dangerous and disastrous these extended lockdowns would be for the economy, Trump urged all the governors to open their states.
Oh,
Virginia, they want to close down till the middle of June.
We're opening our country, and I hope that the lockdown governors, I don't know why they continue to lock down, the ones that are most energetic about opening, they are doing tremendous business. Look at what's going on in Florida. It's incredible. The job the governor of Florida has done, it's incredible.
Now, you know, what hurts the most person has psychological issues. When you cannot see clearly, maybe you might be like schizophrenic, multiple personality disorder. Maybe you're really, really paranoid. Or you might have Trump derangement syndrome. All of this realistic, obvious, common sense stuff that Trump just said, when translated into Trump derangement syndrome, it's only white people in the country should go back to work. All the black folks should be taken back to Africa. We want you to go back to work to kill grandma and all the kids and stuff. Regular comments and stuff all of a sudden gets transposed into something that it's not when you're suffering from Trump derangement syndrome. Everything this man just said, I was like, you're right. There's no way we can go on with the whole economy shut down and saying we'll be fine. But yet he said it, and folks on the other side, man, you know, Trump just trying to win an election. He's doing all this to win an election. Yet you can't separate Trump from just your common sense saying, yeah, that doesn't make sense. But let's continue. What else was Trump right about?
The numbers they're doing. You've got to open it up.
For that, he was called reckless and irresponsible, what? And, of course, anti-science for saying all that.
I heard all that, too.
And Biden, he wanted reopenings to mimic his own style.
What?
Very slow.
Yeah, listen.
So if it weren't for the red states like Texas, Florida, South Dakota, embarrassing the blue states,
oh, yeah.
Those blue states would probably still be in full lockdown.
They would be.
The undeniable fact is the top 12 states leading in job growth are run by Republican governors.
What? Lord, we're finding a correlation. Remember the girl in the beginning of my video? Cause. So why is it
that all of the states that are booming are conservatively ran? Why is it that all of the states that the crime rate is extremely high are ran by Democrats? I got to get to the bottom of that. I really do. Let's continue.
And 17 of the top 20 led by GOP governors are doing a better job allowing Americans to return to work.
Oh, really?
States that remain locked down longer, California, New Jersey, Michigan, New York.
Somebody said gangbang. Yeah, that is right. They did say that about Kavanaugh. They had the nerve to tell us, y'all, this dude was involved in a gangbang. I mean, you know, it's so crazy that they spew out on the liberal networks works. That's what kills me. It works. And I'm thinking, wow, I should have been an evil villain. I mean, you know, when you can throw something like that out and you just listen to Brett Kavanaugh for like 30 seconds, you would know he's not gangbang material. This guy is not that dude that's going to be like, here, guys, I'm going to invite her in. Y'all ready? Hide in the closet. Boy, but folks was believing it. Mad, if you didn't support, they were on my Facebook page. You support a rapist. You support a sexual assaulter. And I'm going, you support dumbness. You support corrupt politicians, thinking through media who's manipulating your pee brain. Let's continue.
Are now dragging all of us down, the rest of our economy dragged down because of them.
Oh, yeah.
Now, here's a list of complete jurisdictions where the unemployment rate is over 7%. Notice anything that they have in common?
Well, let's see this. Hawaii, liberal. California, liberal. New York, liberal. New Mexico, liberal. Connecticut, liberal. Nevada, liberal. New Jersey, liberal. Oh, Washington, D.C., liberal. Pennsylvania, liberal. Louisiana, Illinois, liberal. That's crazy. 8.5, 8.3, 8.2, 8.2, 8.2, 8.2, 8%. New Jersey, 7.5. Washington, 7.5, 7.4, 7.3, 7.1. Wow. They're not doing too well, guys, and you wonder why.
And after we've already spent nearly $3 trillion on COVID, Democrats still think we can spend our way out of this slowdown. But now they're running into an inflationary buzzsaw, something Larry Summers has been warning about now for months, and again in today's Washington Post.
Okay, did they listen to it?
Now, Trump tried to warn them. Reopening the entire economy meant ending unemployment expansion and also getting kids back to school.
The kids. Wait a minute.
I think you should
have. I thought they loved kids. Hold me like the River Jordan. What about we are the world? We are the children. And they got our babies staying at the crib, teaching them all kind of garbage, race theory.
Absolutely open the schools. Our country's got to get back, and it's got to get back as soon as possible. And I don't consider our country coming back if the schools are closed.
Common sense. Translation. Donald Trump wants to kill all kids. He hates them. He's making sure mysteriously all of the kids get to go back to school. And he programmed each one of those virus cells to actually target black kids at school. See, this is a diabolical scheme for him to kill the black kids, but not all of the white kids that are secretly being educated in classrooms right up under our nose. And we can't detect it. That's what he really said, guys. That is a liberal brain translating and transposing what he just said, which is common sense, into liberal logic. See, I have to do this translation. Okay, here we go.
Oh, boy, was he right. Yet Biden was so captive to the teachers' unions, he refused to demand that schools open, refused to refer to teachers as essential workers.
What?
Governors in Texas, Tennessee, Iowa, South Dakota, and Florida, others figured it out. It wasn't until well into this winter, though, that Biden and the Democrats finally gave in. That's only because they saw the political pressure building. Again, Trump warned that the economy could not fully recover unless the kids were back in school. He was right.
I did, too. Because, see, my thought, cause and effect, how is the economy going to boom again when folks can't go to work because the kids are at the crib? Another thing. So let me understand this. I don't have to go to work. I'll still get paid. Plus, I ain't got to pay for daycare either. So my kid get to stay home, go to school from home, even though I won't be watching them, see, because I'm not going to jump on that computer with them especially for minority kids, which I told all of the knuckleheads on my other Facebook page, this is crazy. I said, dude, what are you talking about? Who do you think are going to be more impacted by keeping our kids out of school? You think it's going to be those Beverly Hills kids? You think it's going to be all those kids up in, you know, New York and Manchester and all? No, it's going to be low-income minority kids that don't have a good fundamental foundation when it comes down to education. And oftentimes their parents will look at the screen and go, okay, you know what you're doing. Go ahead. And yet they mocked me. They mocked Trump. They ain't only reason he's trying to send the kids back to school. He more worried about getting reelected. All you can do is sigh. All I can do is go, what happened to you? Anyway, let's continue.
And of course, he was all too prescient about what Biden would do to our border.
Borders? What?
The open borders lobbyists that killed our fellow citizens with illegal drugs and gangs and crime that poured into our country. They support Biden.
Yeah.
How was that?
I wonder why. I wonder why they all support Biden. Now, I'm thinking, who are the bad actors that's benefiting from open borders? Who are the bad actors that benefit from a Biden presidency? So if you go to a group of kids in a classroom and you say, now, guys, you can pick the substitute teacher who's going to sit back at her desk, text all day, and assume you're doing your work. Or you can go ahead and pick your regular teacher, Miss Lynch, who's walking up and down the aisles, looking over your shoulder, making sure you're doing what you're supposed to do. Which one do you want? We'll take the substitute. All of the cartel. Oh, yeah, man. Thumbs up for President Biden. All of those coyotes. Yeah, yeah. China. We love Biden. Russia, every single bad actor on the stage would prefer him. Why? He's weak. He's corrupt. He got too much baggage. He cannot take a stance on hardly anything because he got his hands into everything way long time ago. And all they got to do, if he gets too reckless, you know, we got a lot of info on you, bruh. But let's continue.
That speech. And by the end of the year, at the current pace of crossing, Biden will have allowed in 2 million migrants from all over the world. These illegals are overwhelmingly indigent and dependent on taxpayer-provided resources.
No way.
It's a complete travesty. And if I had my way, facilitating mass immigration fraud should be an impeachable offense.
Thank you. Because it's really not looking out for the country. I thought the president's job was to make sure we were safe and protected. America first, right? But that's racist. America first means patriotic extremists. America first means white nationalists. Making sure that your country is protected, your interests is protected, your jobs are protected, your cities are protected, your kids are protected, all of that, extremism is racist. Biden, on every one of those topics, is blew out. And yet, folks voted for him. You get what you ask for. Let's continue, though.
Trump was right about how Democrats' anti-police rhetoric would make our streets more dangerous, too.
Joe Biden and the Democratic Party waged a war on police and us and inciting riots. And that's what you do. When you take away the majesty of that position, you are inciting violence.
When you take away the majesty of that position, you're inciting violence. Now, of course, you know what they're going to say. Trump loves the white nationalist police. He's sicking them on us. He's sicking them. Every day he gets in that Oval Office and gets on the phone with only the white ones. Only the white ones. Hello. Yeah, it's Trump. All right, everything in place? Okay. Now, did you go ahead and give all the black ones the day off? Okay, because remember, this is a purge all black people day. But we can't have the black police with the white police. Then it won't be. Listen, just give them the day off. Send everybody in. And just start randomly black men that are unarmed for no reason. Okay. All right. Call me when it's done. Thanks. That's what they would, that's it. That's their translation. But remember, none of this has a correlation. And it's sad because when you look at the majesty of the position, even though cops did make a lot of money, there was something about a police officer that was honorable, respected. Now you've degraded that. Now there's really no benefit. So let me understand. I'm risking my life and I'm being trashed. Okay. Same thing with teachers. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to get rich as a teacher, I'm sure they say. I was a teacher at one point. But it wasn't about getting rich. But now let's just say that all of a sudden all teachers are now called racist, white supremacists, and all of that. Now you've really taken away any incentive for me to do this. You have even stripped me of my internal motivation, my intrinsic motivation to do this for less money, to put my life at risk. Still, high, fancy, respected positions. If you start dogging them and start to say, you know what, I don't care if you're one of the best Navy SEALs on the planet. You're a white nationalist, racist, xenophobe. Why am I risking my life for the country again? Now, remember, this ain't coming from just the people. This is coming from politicians. Politicians saying this. The ones that are us, who signed legislation to pay us and fund us, same ones calling us white nationalists, racists, all that stuff. And you want us to go ahead out there and risk our... When is retirement again? How many more weeks I have?
Now, we all know what's happened to violent crime rates, violent crime rates across the country. It's way up.
What?
After 4 years of Joe Biden, expect more of America to look, I don't know, a lot like San Francisco.
Oh.
There, they decriminalized theft. They decriminalized camping in public parks. So now things are so out of control there. Walgreens has closed 17 stores.
But yet, they're profiting up there. They're booming in San Francisco. Isn't that where Nancy Pelosi lives? I bet you she don't go out there walking around on all that dookie in the streets. I bet you Nancy Pelosi in her limousine on her way to the airport, if she sees someone taking a poop in the middle of the street, she would probably tell her butler to ride and drive over that peasant. That's what she would probably do. But yet she's running around America talking about January 6th and all of that. We need a commission. You're not worried about all this mess in your own state, in your own city? Democrats.
And, of course, Trump was right on energy and gas prices.
And almost everything else.
Biden has vowed to abolish the entire U.S. energy industry, right? And you're going to have gas prices. This is not great for selling your beautiful cars. Gas prices of $6 and $7. Right now, it's nice to be under $2, isn't it? You never thought you'd see that.
Yeah, yeah. So all of those liberals who's filling up their Prius, who's filling up their little teeny goat carts, all of them, don't get mad at us. We told y'all. I went and filled up my little Jeep. I got a Jeep. Some of y'all might have seen it. I got a man Jeep. I love my man Jeep. But it cost me $44 to fill up my man Jeep. And I'm thinking, this is the one with the smallest tank. It's never cost me that. Thanks a lot, Biden voters. Let's continue.
Those were the days. And let's not forget that Trump's predictive powers extended to foreign policy as well.
More Trump being right?
If Biden wins, China wins. A lot of people have known it for a long time.
China? Okay.
Who's done nothing but betray you for 47 years. Sell out to China. China owes them. Sell out to Big Pharma and sell out to foreign countries. The only thing he cares about is political power.
Now, Trump recognized that dealing with China was the most important issue and also understood that other countries aren't that interested in helping us.
What?
So he focused on getting leverage over our trading partners, including China, and using that leverage to improve the terms of trade.
Smart, right? Smart.
That meant pressuring multinational corporations to create more jobs in the U.S. of A.
Now, I'm not a genius, guys, but I knew all of that stuff. Now, why is it that the Democrats can't figure out that formula? The formula to success. For us. You know why? Because they figured out the formula to success for themselves. Who cares about us? Now, if we happen to reap the benefits of their craps, scraps, and their leftovers, cool. But we're not their priority. No. It is who is lacing our pockets. And in my opinion, we almost need to just completely rebuild the whole party of both of them. Get rid of all these rhinos. Just say, man, you know what? Let's just get rid of them dudes. Because right now, most of the Republican voters really are not voting for Republicans, but more so voting for good, sound policies and also someone who will represent their own personal interests like a Trump. Trump wasn't necessarily the most conservative dude. He was reasonable, he was practical, and he was proficient. And they didn't like that. When they're unreasonable, they don't get nothing done. They make false promises, and they only do things that benefit themselves. Now, you get Trump coming in, showing them up. That dude got to go. Rhino said it. Funky, nasty, dirty Democrats said it. Globalists said it. Whenever you see everybody piling up to gang up on a person, you should stop for a second and say, no, wait just a minute. Nobody is worth all of that ganging up on. You're telling me big tech, most of the liberal media, all of these globalists, all of these Democrats and Republicans are all jumping Trump. Why? What is he doing to really make y'all that mad? Because y'all telling us it's something else. Y'all got us attacking him because y'all telling us he's a white nationalist and a racist, xenophobe, homophobe, and all that. But what is he really to you? Do you really believe he's all those things? Or is that just what you're telling us because he's really messing with your situation? That's what it really is and was and still is. But let's wrap this.
And finally, he understood that we shouldn't squander our influence in the Middle East.
What?
So sending Secretary of State Tony Blinken there today means that Biden's foreign policy is essentially dead in the water.
What?
While the Secretary of State is busy untangling, most of the deep state is just going to go back to doing nothing on the CCP or any other issues.
What?
We saw this playbook all through the Bush and Obama years, and now it looks like we're just back to that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if Trump were still president, the situation in Israel would be more stable, and we would have significant leverage over China.
And, you know, as sad as this is, guys, it's true. If Trump was in office, none of this crap would have happened. But the sad part, if he would have won, all of the main bubble heads running around would still not recognize the benefit of Trump being in office. And frankly, if something was to happen and he get reinstated right now, they would still, after seeing how horrible Biden is and how raggedy these Democrat politicians are, they would still rise up and swear up and down. They would make it up in their head that life under Biden was better. They're committed to this delusion that all of these things that she just brought up that we were right about and would be different if Trump president, they would still make it up in their mind that life is worse. What? You telling me everybody back to work, back to school? I ain't being forced to put the diaper on, and I ain't being forced to get the mots, and all of this other stuff is calmed down in the Middle East. So what? When Joe Biden was in office, nobody was running around racist somehow. They don't even realize that all of the rhetoric, all of the reasons why they tell these idiots to vote for them have not been solved or addressed or nothing. All of the systemic racism, all of the white nationalism that's on the rise, nothing has changed except for bad things. Higher gas prices, no more peace in the Middle East. All of the stupidity. China, right upper hand, Russia, upper hand, Iran, ticking off Israel. All of this stuff has been nothing but negative. But it can't convince them. And here's one that's dear to my heart, y'all, because I just went out and bought new Israeli weapon called a Jericho. And look at this. They told us, man, y'all always talking about Trump. You know, he supports the Second Amendment. Ain't nobody coming after your guns. What's this?
All weapon.
Yeah, Senator, the bill to ban assault weapons is
your
dozens
of
pages.
Of
There's no way I could define an assault weapon.
You don't have any. You're going to run.
You can't. You can't. So wait, let me understand. It's like most Democrats who are always talking about a ban on assault weapons, and you ask them, yeah, we got that AR-19 off the, yeah, that AR-15 is heavy as like 10 boxes, and it shoots a 50 caliber bullet. They hack it up every single time a mic is in their face. How are you going to ban something and you don't even know what it is? Don't even know what it is. Hey, Ken, you're in office. Do you support the banning of an ultratronic flipper-tripter? Well, yeah, they're been known to be dangerous and harmful to people. Do you know what an ultratronic flipper-tripter is? Kind of, but I'd like to hear your definition of what it is. These folks are ignorant. They're going after that mug with no real logic or evidence of anything. But let's continue hearing this dude get embarrassed. But remember, it's all in our heads.
This agency, and you don't have a definition of assault weapon.
But I would be enforcing the definition that members of Congress
have. I'm going to be issuing rules and regulations. Just give me your definition.
Yeah, give it to him. Give it to me.
I'll give you one definition that ATF.
Give me your definition.
One definition that ATF currently.
Give me your definition.
Yours, man.
I can give you one definition.
If you won't answer my question, how can I vote?
That's the point. Democrats don't expect folks to ask questions. That's the point. Every single policy that they have. Hey, you know what? Don't ask me. Don't you be asking me no question. Now, listen. Somehow, magically, we're going to let everybody stay home and pay them with nothing but farts and cotton candy and things of that nature. The money will come somehow. Don't ask me how it'll come. Don't you be asking me how we're going to deal with all the flooding at the border. We're just going to do it somehow. You're asking too many questions. Don't you ask me how we're going to pay all of these minorities reparations. See, you want details. We don't do that as Democrats. We use manipulation of your emotions, see. And emotions don't want details. Let's continue, because he's about to get destroyed right here.
I'm done, Mr. Chairman. I don't think I'm going to get an answer.
No, you won't.
You have called for an assault weapons ban. I have a simple question for you. What is an assault weapon?
What is it?
Senator, an assault weapon would be, in the context of the question you asked, what Congress defines it as.
Round and round the mulberry bush, where you go? Pop those weasel. Let's hear this weasel go all around that mulberry bush.
So you're asking us to ban assault weapons. We have to write legislation. Can you tell me what is an assault weapon? How would you define it?
It's bad.
If you were the head of the ATF, how have you defined it over the last several years as your role as a gun control advocate?
Scary. Senator, if I'm confirmed as ATF director, you know, my recollection is the only process has weighed in is that I know there's a demand letter 3 program which requires multiple reports, multiple sale reports on
round
the southwestern
and
border. And ATF in that program has defined an assault rifle as any semi-automatic rifle capable of accepting a detachable magazine above the caliber of .22. Which
now, wait a minute. I got a .30-06. I got a .30-06 hunting rifle right now. And that has a detachable magazine. And it shoots a way bigger caliber than what my AR-15 shoots. I would take a bullet from an AR-15 any day over that .30-06 bullet. That one looks like it might sting a little. Okay. But yet, this guy has just thrown that one in with that the definition as well. Where are you going with this funny-looking guy?
Which would include a .223, which is, you know, largely the AR-15 rounds.
So you believe that every weapon that takes a detachable magazine that can take a .22 round or 5.56 in military parlance should be defined as an assault weapon?
Let me clarify.
This dude don't realize he's getting set up right now by Tom Cotton. He's getting set up and he's walking right into it.
Clarify. What I believe I said is any semi-automatic rifle.
Any semi-automatic rifle.
What?
That's the definite.
What?
A detachable magazine that takes a 5.56 or .22 round should be defined as an assault weapon.
Give me a minute.
Senator, you asked me if ATF had used this term, and I was sharing with you my knowledge of a program in which ATF has defined this term, and it is in the Demand Letter 3 program, and that rifle is a semi-automatic rifle capable of accepting a detachable magazine with a round greater than a .22 caliber. And in those cases, firearms dealers on the southwest border are required to make a multiple sale report to ATF.
I'm amazed that that might be the definition of assault weapon. That would basically cover every single modern sporting rifle in America today. Let me put it this way. If I wanted to buy an assault weapon, and I walked into Walmart or Cabela's or some other firearm dealers, and I looked up on the wall where they were labeling their weapons, would there be a label on the wall for assault weapon?
I don't believe, Senator, and thank you for this question.
Round and round that mulberry bush. That I don't believe. Oh, and thanks for the question. You know they don't want them questions. That right there is stalling. Right now he's like, it seems to be flooded. I can't get it to turn over. talking about some, oh, yeah, by the way, thanks for the question. Thanks for that question that I can't answer reasonably.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for that question that is about to expose me as really going after that particular guy. He done walked right into that doo-doo that was set down on the floor for him.
That the firearms industry has used the term assault rifle in their marketing since there was a ban on it. It was after that that they changed their use of the term assault rifle to the modern sporting rifle.
Well, so I've been in Walmarts and I've been in Kabbalah's, and I'm saying that you can find sections for pistols or handguns or for shotguns or for rifles because those are actual kinds of firearms. I think our exchange here illustrates that there really is no such thing as an assault weapon.
Oh.
That is a term that was manufactured by liberal lawyers and pollsters in Washington to try to scare the American people into believing that the government should confiscate weapons that are wildly popular for millions of Americans to defend themselves and their families and their homes.
Yep. Ooh, mic drop. He walked into it, y'all. See, that's the point. They label things that they want to get rid of, that they want to demonize or keep away from them or keep from exposing them or to mess around and stop their agenda. They just come up with these fancy labels. That's the way we deal with stuff here as a Democrat. What? You love your country. That's patriotic. What can we call that one? Extremism. Okay. That's patriotic extremism. What? You love your country and you're a nationalist. What should we say? Well, I mean, if we just focus on the nationalist part, then that just simply means they love their country. So you want to put white in front of it? Okay, here we go. You're white nationalist. No, I didn't say that. No, that's what you meant. That's what you meant. You're white nationalist. That's all they do. They just throw stuff on there. Same thing with the assault weapon. I've always said this. I said, where'd that come from? Assault rifle? I mean, or then they dummy it down one more step. Assault weapon. Notice how they do that for a reason. Because, see, once they get you focused on identifying the correlation with them saying assault rifle with the AR-15, then when they start saying assault weapon, the untrained brain thinks of the AR-15. And in reality, every gun is an assault weapon because you can assault someone with it. Now, you can use it for hunting. But at the end of the day, it's a weapon. Now, if you don't catch that little sleight of hand and you say, yeah, we need to get those assault rifles off the market, and then they slide in a new term, assault weapon, and you, I support that. Think it. It's that. Then when they come for your little 38 pistol or your 22, then you go, well, wait, mine ain't an assault rifle. No, we didn't say assault rifles. We said assault weapons. That right there is an assault weapon. Give it to me. Give it to me. Folks got to think, but they don't. But here's another exposure of that same guy.
AR-15 is one of, if not the most popular rifle in America. It's not a machine gun.
Okay.
It's a rifle.
Yeah.
Your public position is that you want to ban AR-15s. Is that correct?
Senator, thank you for the question, and thank you for our visit yesterday and offering me a Dr. Pepper. It made me
round the mulberry bush. Y'all hear that? Going around that bush again. We just can't lay off that bush. I'd like to thank you for about to expose me. And what did you give me yesterday? It was a Dr. Pepper. I like those. I like those. When I was a kid, I used to, I don't care. Tell me what you're going to do. Don't be like Nancy Pelosi. We got to pass the bill before we know what's in it. Don't be like creepy, sleepy, sloppy, sleazy Joe. When they ask him, are you going to pack the courts? Well, you know what? Let me get elected. Then I'll decide.
Time in Central Texas. But now to your question. With respect to the AR-15, I support a ban as has been presented in a Senate bill and supported by the president. The AR-15 is a gun I was issued on ATF's SWAT team, and it's a particularly lethal weapon. And regulating it as other particularly lethal weapons, I have advocated for as ATF director, if I'm confirmed.
That's a lot of words saying nothing. That dude right there is pulling a technique that the Democrats use. Makes you think they're answering stuff, but they don't. The other day when they were asking Raggedy Patty about something, she never even answered the question. Yeah, well, you know what? The president's position on it is that everybody should be working on things and looking at stuff. And that's not the question, Raggedy. You're not answering the question. Same thing with this guy. There's the people, the one thing they said, now that gun is particularly dangerous. Okay, I don't know about y'all guys. Would you rather be shot by AR-15 or shotgun slugs? I'll take my chances with the AR-15 round. See, there are guns out there right now that I would rather get shot by AR-15 than a particular caliber or particular gun. But for some reason, though, they're going after this one particular gun, and he's going around that mulberry bush.
I would simply enforce the laws in the books, and right now there is no such ban on those guns.
Oh.
So you want to ban the most popular rifle in America.
Y'all hear that, man? I love Ted Cruz. He let this dude go around that mulberry bush all over the place, and then at the end of the day said, bottom line, so you do want to ban that particular gun. Of course he does. Of course he does. Because that is the whole Democrat Party. They want to get rid of that particular gun. And you got to always ask yourself, Democrats don't do stuff just by accident. They're not, their evil is premeditated. They always got something deeper up their sleeve. So now my question is, well, why are you going after that particular gun? How is it that whenever there is some type of random gun shooting or something like that, the first thing they do is bunny hop over every single type of gun that is responsible for more deaths than the AR-15. And yet they jump to that one. You know what? I think it might have something to do with the fact that a lot of patriots, a lot of folks that understand, you know, survival, folks that understand and respect the First and Second Amendment, a lot of them are very proficient in being able to use guns. But secondly, they know how to effectively, if they ever had to, defend not themselves, just themselves, but our way of life. And my gut tells me they will put up more of a resistance to tyranny than the knuckleheads in Chicago running around with their raggedy 9mm and stuff. My gut tells me if I was an evil dictator and I say, you know what, since that gun is very popular and the folks who usually don't vote for us have guns like that one, it would only make sense for us to go after that particular gun. It's no different than them going after folks that would most likely vote conservatively. So we got to go ahead and get those dudes. We got to demonize. We got to take away their ability to really form a militia if need be. We got to take away their ability to express their First and Second Amendment. And how can we do that? Well, one, we've come up with some crazy laws and definitions of some stuff. And we just say, now look at those guys. Those guys over there are dangerous. Those guys are domestic terrorists. Those guys are violating all the gun laws that we just simply made up right now, right now. And now we put all of them in the category as dangerous, as criminals, things like that. But y'all, I don't know where this is going, but they're trying to make it go in a direction that we got a bigger problem, y'all. We got us a Republican that said something that was hurtful, that hurt a lot of Democrats and liberal media's feelings. Here we go, y'all. One of our Republicans compares something to the Nazis.
Today on the Matt Walsh Show, the left has gone into spasms of outrage because Marjorie Taylor Greene made a Holocaust analogy. These are the same people who make Holocaust analogies every time they open their mouths, but somehow we're supposed to take their outrage seriously this time. Well, I don't, and I'll explain why. The rules from the left are very clear. Just because they get to do and say certain things doesn't mean you get to do or say the same things.
What?
And this holds true across the board for in many areas, but especially it's true for Hitler and Holocaust analogies.
Yeah, because I
as you no doubt recall, Democrats and leftists across the spectrum at every level spent the past half decade comparing Donald Trump to Hitler and his every executive action or policy proposal to the Holocaust.
Every day.
They invoke the Nazis at every turn.
Yes, they do.
Reflexively accusing their political opponents of being Nazis. I've been called a Nazi myself more times than I can count, in spite of the fact that I've never participated in any genocide of any kind to my memory, nor have I ever expressed any allegiance to or affinity with the Nazi Party. There's no factual basis for calling me a Nazi or you or Trump, but it was never about facts.
Now, I love Matt. Matt is about to dish out one big butt whooping on this whole narrative of, oh my God, a Republican called or compared something to the Holocaust. He's about to dish out a whole can of whoop butt. Him and my boy is coming up next. Hopefully we can get through them both. Here we go.
For them, when they say Nazi, they simply mean that your opinions are bad, in their opinion, and the Nazis are bad. And therefore, since you're both bad, you're the same.
Yeah, yeah.
That's as far as the similarities have to go in order to justify the comparison in their minds. And it's not just with the Nazis. These are the same people who will accuse you of directly causing hundreds of trans people to commit suicide if you so much as state that women don't have penises. These are people who will throw suicide, tragedy, death, genocide, Holocaust around like they're water balloons. Whatever is required to land a hit on their ideological opponent.
Matt, you're on to something. He is on to something. So if I'm getting this correct, these Democrats can get out there and throw out all kind of hyperbole. They can bring folks on their raggedy networks that say things like Trump is worse than Mao, Stalin, Hitler, all tied into one. They can get on there and call Trump Hitler. They can call him Mussolini. They can call him a white nationalist, white supremacist. They can call all the folks that voted for him Nazis. They can do that religiously, not to mention they will do things like, oh, what? You don't believe in, reparations, then you must support slavery. They will do things like that. They will go so far over the top in exaggerating things and making these wild, outlandish comparisons, and no one ever says nothing to them. They will sit back and compare voting back in the day, which is what's going on down there, Atlanta. And I'm thinking to myself, so not one of y'all had any outrage and said, wait a minute, you don't compare folks having to stand in the line without having drinks brought to them to Jim Crow laws. Nobody. Joe Biden himself, this is like Jim Crow on steroids, more like Jim Eagle. You don't think that's a little far when it comes down to the comparison? So as they call us Nazis, as they use analogies of slavery, as they use analogies of Jim Crow and all of that stuff, perpetrated by their party, by the way, all of a sudden, let's see how far this offense goes.
And yet, as established, none of this gives you license to do the same.
What?
They have different rules. They have a different lane that they run in.
All the time.
And you better stay in your own lane or there will be hell to pay.
What?
Marjorie Taylor Greene learned that yesterday when she sent out a tweet.
What did she say?
Comparing vaccine passports to the gold star that Jews were forced to wear under the Nazis. Green tweeted, quote, vaccinated employees get a vaccination logo, just like the Nazis forced Jewish people to wear a gold star.
Okay.
Vaccine passports and mask mandates create discrimination against unvaxxed people who trust their immune systems to a virus that is 99% survivable.
Okay.
Now, so that was the tweet.
I don't see what the problem is. I don't see what the problem is. They're trying to make her seem like she's real controversial. They're trying to label the whole Democrat Party as being a darn waving those lethal weapons. Yeah, they are lethal weapons. Just in case I ain't got a gun laying around, put this hand on somebody. But they're trying to label the whole Republican Party as the anti-Jewish party as they tolerate Ilhan Omar, Tlaib, AOC, as they sit back and let them run around, you know, calling Israel darn terrorists, all of that. And now they're trying to label us as the anti-Semitic party. Now, what she said, see, this is the difference between the Democrats and the left. If the analogy that is being made doesn't apply, then I get it. That's going over the top. But if it's applicable, see, I do a little foreshadowing in my brain. Now, what she just did, it's talked about things that I've been listening to on the, you know, liberal media networks. Things like, you know what? If these folks don't want to get vaccinated, then maybe there should be some criminal charges. If these folks don't want the MOTS, maybe they shouldn't be able to fly. If these folks don't want to get that MOTS, maybe their kids shouldn't be able to go to school. This is coming out of them. Now, what does that sound like to me? It sounds like they're heading towards the direction that she's using that analogy in. Honestly, If you go back before the Holocaust became full-blown, I'm sure they were in the stage that we're in now, where they're going, now, wait, everybody relax. I know they're putting these things on us. It might not be that bad. If they only can tell, wait a minute, a year from now, this is going to go from just having this ban to now rounding all of y'all up, sticking you. You got to start listening to the small little hints that they're making. All the little suggestions, all the little subliminal messages they're dropping out there, that's the thing that you think about. That's the thing that you make the connections go. So right now, yes, it's not on that level. But if allowed, if not checked, if not opposed, you don't think these Democrats and the liberals would allow this to go in that direction? Of course they would. They would use the whole argument of you're endangering everybody, you're anti-patriotic, you're some type of domestic and biological terrorist because you don't want to get it. But yet, her analogy is over the top. But when they use it, it has nothing to do with the proper context of Hitler. Y'all remember Alexandria Cortez. Trump is running concentration camps. Running them, not like concentration camps, running concentration camps down there on the border. Where was the outrage? Let's continue.
And that is, to my mind, a sort of silly comparison, overheated. I am very opposed to vaccine passports, but this isn't the comparison that I would draw.
Okay.
Yet Green's point here, first of all, comparison aside, is correct. It is wrong to discriminate against unvaccinated people, and vaccine passports are a terrible idea with all kinds of potentially awful ramifications.
True.
Whatever you think of the Nazi tie-in,
okay,
the analogy she draws here is utterly par for the course. People do it all the time, Democrats especially, but not just them. People everywhere across the internet are always invoking the Nazis and World War II and the Holocaust to make their point. Is that because they're anti-Semites? No. You see, if they're anti-Semitic and they're Nazi sympathizers, then they would support the Holocaust and they wouldn't use it to illustrate how evil something is.
So why do they always use it?
The whole point of the comparison is that the Holocaust was bad.
I think we all know that.
That's the point. The constant Nazi analogies are really just the result of not anti-Semitism, but a kind of intellectual laziness and a lack of imagination.
Yes, and manipulation. So yes, they will not win an argument for reason. What they will do is just call you white nationalist, Nazi, homophobic, xenophobic, transphobic. That's their method of arguing. Yes, it also allows them to be lazy, but it also is used to manipulate folks' emotions. All of those folks that don't know that they're using this type of hyperbole to demonize their opponents and to get their agenda across, they will only latch on to the fact that, yes, this person has been called a xenophobe. So therefore, the fact that they're arguing against allowing illegal immigrants to come in, much as they want, many as you want, that doesn't matter anymore. The fact that that person is a xenophobe is bigger than that. That's why they use it. But let's continue. Matt.
Nothing more sinister than that most of the time. Certainly in this case, it's not sinister. It's not a big deal. It's not some big evil thing that Marjorie Taylor Greene has done. She's just done what everyone on the internet is doing every day, all
every
day, all the time.
Every day. Montage.
In summary, who cares?
Yeah.
Well, the left cares.
What?
They care about this hyperbolic Nazi analogy.
What?
This one outraged them.
What?
The ones they make all day, every day, all the time, nonstop, are okay. But this one was beyond the pale.
Why?
Marjorie Taylor Greene's tweet set off a day's worth, and now 2 days worth, of over-the-top hand-wringing, outrage, condemnations, solemn conversations about the grave threat that Marjorie Taylor Greene poses to our democracy.
Our democracy.
Her tweet was condemned by every Democrat, every media outlet, even the Auschwitz Museum felt the need to chime in.
Wow.
Cable news yesterday featured many breathless segments like this one with John Berman on CNN. Listen to this.
So here we go. Here we go.
It is not only ahistoric, it is abhorrent. It's also apparently allowable under Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, who hasn't commented on it and refused to punish Green for past anti-Semitic statements she made.
He's mad.
Wearing a mask compared to the murder of 6 million people?
I don't think that she was focused on the mask. She was focused on the Mott's, identification. But nonetheless, it doesn't matter to Democrats. They don't care about those details. And what we're about to find out is he don't really care about this either, even though he's Jewish. But now Matt's going to expose him and the rest.
It's so far beyond the realm of decency. It could only possibly be made worse by comments from Marjorie Taylor Greene.
I'm appalled.
I stand by all of my statements. I said nothing wrong. And I think any rational Jewish person didn't like what happened in Nazi Germany. And any rational Jewish person doesn't like what's happening with overbearing mask mandates.
I like her.
Rational Jewish person? I'm Jewish. I'm not at all religious. And thank God my family made it to this country decades before the Holocaust.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Jewish man on TV. I'm black, but I get censored. We're talking about things that deal with the black history if it doesn't really help the Democrats in their agenda. See, when I get on here and I start saying things like black folks are not victims, when I get on here and I say black folks should not support the darn Democrat Party because they've been the single greatest destruction for the black community, I get, throttled down. I get censored. I get all of these things. But yet I'm black, but this guy right here, I'm Jewish, and I'm offended. But we're not allowed to get offended as black folks if you don't agree with the Democrat Party and their narratives. We shouldn't be offended. Okay, but this guy is, though. He's offended.
But that's my heritage, and I promise you that Congresswoman Taylor Greene, she thinks I'm Jewish.
Oh.
So as a rational Jewish person, let me just say to Marjorie Taylor Greene, don't you dare speak for me.
Ooh.
Not if you're going to compare health measures or anything to the Holocaust.
Action.
In a tweet last night, she said, I'm sorry if my words make people uncomfortable. No, they don't make me uncomfortable. They make me sick.
Oh, how dare you? Abhorrent. It makes me sick. I'm a Jew myself, says John Berman. Sure, he doesn't care about his faith, he says, and he's never said a single word of protest against any left-winger making a Holocaust analogy ever. But even so, he is outraged.
He's outraged.
Offended. He's never heard of anything so terrible in his life.
That's right.
And where are the Republicans? Why aren't they condemning this? They must condemn. Condemn it once.
Right now.
Condemn this thing that we're pretending to be upset about. Condemn it. Well, don't worry. Republicans are always ready to bark like dogs whenever the left snaps its fingers. And right on time, House GOP leader Kevin McCarthy issued a statement.
Kevin, you don't deserve my name. McCarthy, you did. Listen to this, y'all. Here we go.
Condemning Marjorie Taylor Greene in no uncertain terms, he said in part, quote, Marjorie is wrong, and her intentional decision to compare the horrors of the Holocaust with wearing masks is appalling.
Here we go.
The Holocaust is the greatest atrocity committed in history. The fact that this needs to be stated today is deeply troubling. Americans must stand together to defeat anti-Semitism and any attempt to diminish the history of the Holocaust.
Listen to this.
What a pathetic little worm this guy is.
I love that.
House Minority.
I love him. What a pathetic little worm this dude is. And many of the other rivals. These dudes don't learn, man. They don't get it. You will never appease the angry mob. You will never appease the liberals that at any other time will call you the most horrific names, will put the worst labels on you that you can put on a person. Almost every Republican has been called a racist. And they know they're not real racist. But yet, for some reason, though, they have not learned that this is a tactic that they use to demonize their opponents. So when they go after one particular Republican that says something slightly controversial, these dudes bunny hop over everything to condemn that, thinking that I'm going to show everybody else that we're not like that one Republican. We're a kind, gentle group of people who are sensitive. Democrats don't do that. I mean, nobody was coming out condemning Ilhan Omar. They didn't want to censure her when she's talking, some people did something. They defended that mess. They lumped that in with everything else. They don't do that stuff. But yet our Republicans do it. For what? And Matt's about to go ahead and break it down to us, and I love his dismount.
With Steve Scalise also condemned. So did Liz Cheney, of course, calling the comments vile and evil. And lunacy. Evil. Evil. Now,
evil, y'all.
I mean, there are a lot of evil. Everyone on the internet is evil now.
Yeah, because I hear that term.
You included. Everyone.
Quote, and he clearly intends to continue to welcome Marjorie Taylor Greene in the GOP and shield her from any real consequences or accountability for her anti-Semitism.
So now they're trying to say that the whole party is contaminated with anti-Semitism because they're not kicking her out, which I like her. But I don't understand is why is Ilhan Omar still running around? Why is AOC still running around? Why is Tlaib still running around in their party? Why is Cuomo still running around? Why is Governor Blackface still running around? Why is Chief Ellison still running around in their party? Huh, interesting.
This is according to Pelosi spokesperson Drew Hamill. Leader McCarthy's silence has spoken volumes about his allegiance to the most extreme elements of the GOP conference.
Mm-hmm.
Green's recent comments may have precipitated a response from McCarthy following criticism from prominent Republicans. Quote, please educate yourself so that you can realize how absolutely wrong and inappropriate it is to compare proof of vaccination with the 6 million Jews who were exterminated by the Nazis.
You
are an embarrassment to yourself and the GOP.
Oh, okay.
According to Matt Brooks, the executive director of the Republican Jewish Coalition.
Okay.
He said in a tweet on Tuesday morning. Uh-huh. Jeff Miller, a prominent GOP lobbyist and close friend of McCarthy, okay, who sits on the Holocaust Memorial Museum Council, slammed Green in a tweet on Tuesday, saying he would be happy to arrange for her to visit the U.S. Holocaust Museum. Quote, then maybe going forward, you wouldn't make any more disgusting, ignorant, and offensive tweets. If I'm wrong and you're not ignorant about the Holocaust, then you are disgusting.
Okay, okay.
Now, you know, I could go and check to see if any of these blathering phonies and idiots ever said anything like this to any Democrat who has invoked the Holocaust or Hitler.
Oh, they made
but I don't think I need to check because we all know the answer. They didn't.
Do.
We also know that these Republicans, being good little puppies and doing as they're told, will never actually succeed in satisfying their masters. Even though Republicans condemned, as they were instructed to, and did it within hours of the offending tweet,
mm-hmm,
still wasn't enough.
Why is
wasn't
that?
Fast enough.
Why?
Wasn't passionate enough.
Oh, okay.
As Wolf Blitzer and Dana Bash back on CNN made clear.
And this is why you go out standing on your feet. This is why you go out with your spine intact. You don't let them rip your spine out like John Cena, big for nothing. You don't let them rip your whole spine out and wear it around their waist like a belt. You go out standing on your feet. So yet, all of this groveling that the Republicans do, all of this, let's run to the mic and tell everybody we disavow. Democrats don't do that mess. It's amazing to me. China never disavows. They don't come out and criticize people in China with an opinion. You think they would do what John Cena did? You think they would do the stuff that they require some of the folks over here in the U.S. to do to want to keep their job and their status and their money, all of that stuff? You will get on TV and humiliate yourself, and you will apologize to China for your atrocities. They never do it, ever. But yet, folks do this thinking. They're going to win their favor. And I'm saying, no, you would never win their favor. So how about you just go out in a blaze of glory, but not these dudes? And Matt's about to show them why. Here we go.
Now, why do you think it took these Republican leaders so long